Let's open up to the Gospel of John. I'll tell you, I could shout on that, and we all ought to probably took a lap or two. Don't you guess that's right? And I'm glad. Listen, these, as far as folks in our room and folks that's here tonight, everything that's been said, Brother Nathaniel sort of started off with, I ain't what I used to be. And thank God, and Hannah finished the testimonies talking about how God's still forming us into what we're going to be. Amen. And I thank God that God's still working on me. Amen. Amen. If you got your Bible, John, the Gospel of John, probably without question my favorite gospel. And you pray for us tonight. The only thing about being gone for a week is your voice gets real weak. So you pray, Lord, help us, and we'll do the best we can to try to mind the Lord. John chapter number 2, find that place and we'll start reading. This is, happens to be one of my favorite stories in the whole Bible, and I preached on it a few times, but I ain't preached on it near as many times as I'd like to, and I hope God will help me to preach on it several more times if he leaves me here. Bible said in verse number 1, and the third day, thank God, I'm glad. I can stop reading right there and be happy in the Lord, couldn't you?
Yeah.
I mean just, and the third day, amen. You tell whatever story. I don't know what's wrong in your life, but I can tell you this. When the Bible says, and the third day because of the resurrection, hey, thank God, I'm glad that's not the end. Amen. Here the Bible says these words. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. There's another message right there. Thank God. That seems simple enough. Whatever God says do, just do that. Amen. He said, and there was set there 6 water pots of stone, and the manner of the purifying of the Jews containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. He saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. And it said, when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and he knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. The beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Heavenly Father, I bow my head before you one more time. And Lord, I thank you for letting us come back to the house of God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the good songs aside. I thank you, Lord, for the good testimonies. And God, we thank you for the good presence of God. And Lord, we didn't come, Father God, just to be seen or to be heard, but Lord, surely, and we came tonight to worship you and spread it in truth. And Father, I pray that tonight, if it be anybody, Lord, here and not in fellowship with you, God, I pray that they would be before the night's over. And God, I'm glad that, Lord, it don't take you all day to save nobody. It don't take you all day to restore anybody. And God, I'm glad that, Father God, that you're willing if we are. And so, Lord, I pray you'd help us today. I'd ask you, Lord, to help me. And Lord, not to be a tinkling cymbal, and nor sounding brass, but Lord, to cry loud and spare not, and to be everything you'd have us to be. And Lord, we love you and ask you now, and God, you'd help us for your name's sake. In Christ's name I do beg and pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I like in John chapter number 2, and they so much you preach out of that. I preach about how the old dispensation has given way to the new dispensation. There was a time that ran out. But this is a thought I'd like to preach on tonight. And you'll have to bear with me in my folly. And all I know to do is tell you how it happened. I'll tell you what's happened in my heart, and I'll try to preach the message. But just this whole week, Ty and Holly is down there on the other side. And when we went down, we usually have a real good time. We did this time. But Brother Delmer, when we got down there, the wind was blowing about 27, 28 miles an hour, and it was cold. And I sat out there on the, with a hoodie on. Y'all know I don't like nothing cold. And I sat out there with the hoodie on it. Ty was teasing me, said, "You're having a good time." But boy, the last time, this is what it done. I'd get up here real early and try to go pray and study. And on the last day, I got out there, and as soon as I stepped foot on the shore, I looked around and the sun was shining and the wind was good. And I mean, the heat was back up. And I thought, "Lord, that's just like you. I just saved the best day for the last day." Amen. And I got to thinking about that. And I'd say this would be true in all of our lives. I want to go on record and say it. God will save the best for the last. Amen. And now here's the good news, friend. And the good thing about the Lord is it don't start bad and then get good. But it starts good and it just keeps getting better. I mean, the way that it works. And so thank God, God saved us and brought us up out of hell. I mean, boy, that's good. And I say thank God. And then as we get to studying and learn more about what the Lord's done for us, I get to understand an atonement and propitiation and everything God's done for our soul. And boy, it just keeps getting better. Have a taste, good news, friend. There's a day just out ahead of us that you rest assured that God's going to save the best for last. And now man never does that. And man always puts forth their best. Hey, listen, I want to say this to you. And don't nobody get offended. Everybody in this room tonight, we are putting forth our best foot. Amen. I mean, we've dressed our best. And we smile when we don't want to. And we're showing everybody our best side. Amen. I mean, there's nobody gets up here and they're hollering at their wife across the crowd. And no, even if you're mad at each other, hey, you're still acting right in here. Amen. I'll tell you what happens as we put forth our best. But thank God, God knows us at our worst. And I'm glad he takes our worst and he still makes it best. Amen. And John chapter number 2, what you find? Thank God, there's at a point that they was empty, but the Lord filled them up. Thank God. I mean, you start off with a tragedy and you end up in triumph. You start off in a place where there's empty, but by the time he's done, thank God, they're chock full. Amen. And so if the Lord help me for a few minutes of time, I'd like to preach on that thought. Only save the best for last. Now look with me, if you will, in 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to be skipping around here and there. And you just pray for us that the Lord use us tonight. I'd say this to you in 1 Corinthians and chapter number 15. And when it starts down there in verse number 45, it says these words. He says, "And so it is written that the first man, Adam, he was made a living soul." But I want you to watch this. He said, "And the last Adam, it was made a quickening spirit." And so I'd say this. He said, "The last man, have the best for last." I mean, look here, friend. Thank God where we're standing at. He made Adam, and Adam was pretty good. But Adam couldn't get the job done. And we find, I don't know how long, but it didn't take him too long, Brother Jerry, until Adam had failed and failed miserably. And I'll tell you what started happening. After that, God started putting forth one after another. He sent Moses. He sent the law. He sent the prophet. Matthew 21 says that he sent forth his servants, and it said they took some and they beat them, and it took some and they spitefully used them. It said then he sent forth more, and it said and they stoned them. But he said last of all he sent forth his son. He said, "For they will reverence my son." And they said, "This here is the heir. Let us take him," amen, "and destroy it." He said, "What do you think the master of the vineyard will do when he comes forth?" Amen. I'm saying this to you, friend. The last man he sent forth was the best man. What Adam couldn't do, what Moses couldn't do, how what Isaiah couldn't do, what John the Baptist couldn't do, how the Lord Jesus Christ, he did, amen. Oh, listen, friend, how the Bible would say it like this, and speaking in, about Adam in Romans chapter 5, he said, for as by one man's disobedience, how many are made sinners. Hey, listen, thank God that's you, and that's I. Hey, thank God, hear me, friend. I thought about what it said over in Romans chapter 8. It said, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, and God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, and destroyed sin in the flesh. Amen. He saved the best for last. I started thinking about the best man. I mean, friend, listen, you could find fault in Adam, and surely we have. You find fault in Isaiah. You find fault in Jeremiah. You find fault in everybody. I find fault in Bill. I find fault in Bobby. Find fault in your preacher. Find fault in everybody. But you'll not find no fault in him. He saved the best for last. He knew no sin. He did no sin. In him was no sin. In Hebrews 7:25, it says, wherefore seeing he is able also to save them to the uttermost and come unto God by him. At verse 26 is one of my favorites. And when it starts talking about, it says that he's holy, he's harmless, he's undefiled, he's separate from sinners, and he's made higher than the heaven. He's everything that you and I are not. And I thank God for it. I mean, you and I are struggling and to do the best we could. And we could take the best lesson. We could take the best moments of ever life in this room. Add them all up, and they wouldn't get us one drop of the righteousness of God. But thank God the Lord Jesus Christ came and walked up Calvary's hill and took that cup and drank it deep and large and went upon Calvary's cross and thank God shed his last blood. And when the Father looked down on it and said, ye shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. I'm saying this, he saved the best for last. Amen. Oh, hear me, friend. I mean, look here, there's nobody ever much impressed God. I mean, as far as you and I is concerned, and look here, we ought not even impress each other. And sometimes we try to, but he put the best man. That was the last man and the last Adam. And thank God if it wasn't for him, you and I'd be in trouble. Amen. And then I thought about not only did he save the best man for last, that is Christ, but he saved the best message for the last message. Amen. Oh, listen to me, friend. I got thinking about all those. I want to go on record right here saying, I'm glad that we don't rely on dreams. Amen. Are y'all with me right there? I mean, look here, friend. I'm not interested much in you standing up and saying, I'll tell you what I dreamed the other night. We don't live in the dispensation of dreamers. Amen. Y'all have it, thank God. I don't have to live in dispensation of dreams. I don't have to have, thank God, have the old prophets. I don't have to have none of them. I've got the very Son of God and living on the inside of me. And I'm on the inside of him. I'd say this, it's the best message that we've ever heard. Can you imagine living under the Old Testament, under the old economy? I mean, thank God, look here, friend. Hey, none of us would have lasted very long under the old economy. And every time you come up, hey, you couldn't come without the shedding of blood. Hey, you had to go out and search for a lamb. Had to make sure you had one. Had one lamb for yourself on the Day of Atonement. Had to put him up for 10 days on the 10th day and expect him for four more before you could slay him. And then you come in, and I'm sure nobody in here has ever came to church, got right with God, and then been messed up before the day's over, have you? Amen. But for the rest of us, thank God. Hey, you imagine on that Day of Atonement, hey, you get right with God, all those sins put off on credit, and then before you even make it back to your little tent, and before you even got in your hut, and my friend, you've already messed up, and you've got no way how to be clean for the next year. Oh, what a terrible message. I'm glad I don't live under that. I want to say, thank God, I'm not living under dispensation where it's a half faith and a half by works. Amen. I mean, amen, thank God. And That's not by water baptism. That's not according to any good deed that you and I have done. But we live under the best message that's ever been declared. You say, what's the message? He told us in Hebrews chapter number 1, verse number 1. And he said, God who at sundry time and diverse manners has spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, he hath in these last times has spoken unto us by his son. Amen. And so I don't need nothing new. Thank God. Amen. And what he said was good enough. Amen. I'd go on record as saying this. And the last 7 things he said is good enough to save everybody and come unto God by him. And those last 7 sayings on the cross of Calvary, that first saying's a pretty good one. Wouldn't you agree with that? And he looked over and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's a pretty good saying. Amen. And you ever rejoiced over that a little bit? I mean, thank God, get that place. And he said, Father, forgive them. And then I got thinking about that next one. And he looks over at the thief. And he said, verily I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. That's a pretty good, message, I'd say. Amen. Oh, you remember over there, thank God. And he looks over there at his mama. And he says, woman, behold thy son. And he looks at the disciple. And he says, behold thy mother. You know what that signifies? That tells us how he's going to take care of us. And this whole journey through. And boy, I like that next saying. And he said to my God, and my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And boy, what a statement. That God was willing to be forsook that you and I might be accepted. And then he cries out, thank God, I thirst. And those are actually in the other order. Amen. But then that next to the last saying, your memory comes out of the dark side of the cross, and he cries out those 3 words, and he says, it is finished. Amen. And then the last saying that he says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. I say, thank God. You know what the last words in red in your Bible is? It says, surely I come quickly. I'm telling you, thank God, we don't need a new word from anybody else. We've got everything we need right here in the inerrant, infallible word of an almighty God. Amen. Amen. A lot of folks looking for something else. Hey, but we've already got the last message to ever be given. Amen. Hey, thank God. That's the good. I tell you this, tongues came. And the Bible said, but tongues will cease. And listen, I mean, signs came. But signs have ceased. Amen. But the scripture forever settled in heaven. That's just, amen. I could have ran on that whether you wanted to or not. Amen. I don't have to go off of tongue talking. And I don't have to go off wonder working. I've got a King James Bible, amen. And you say, brother, is that better than that? Amen, thank God, you better believe it. I mean, listen, I promise you this, they'd have traded what they had for what I hold, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, you better believe it. Hey, you better believe that old eunuch over there that was traveling down and only had Isaiah 53 and maybe up to verse 50, chapter 55, 56, I hope, really, amen. But thank God, listen, you better believe he'd have traded all the riches he had just to hold on to the 31,102 verses I got right here, amen. I say, thank God, this is the last message, amen. I don't know what else folks is needing or looking for something. I've been working on this thought. I don't know if I'm preaching here or not. I'll give you a little bit of it anyhow. I've been working on this thought on, Lord, we're sorry we've gotten over you. Amen. And I'll tell you this, thank God, we've gotten over the goodness of God. I mean, you ever been a part of a generation that gets over things as quickly as ours does? I mean, 9/11 should have shocked us real good. And it did for about a month. Amen. And the lesson, all the things in the world, it ought to terrify us. We hear of so somebody, a mass shooting, and it bothers us for about 35 seconds. How about we get over things faster now than any generation ever has? And I'd say this to you, in the house of God, we've gotten over all the good things of God, and it's just about to ruin us. Amen. And my friend, look here. These folks that went to the stakes and died, that you'd hold this Bible in your hand, and we've gotten over it far too quickly. I mean, this is the last message. This is the word of an almighty God. This is God incarnate in the scripture, and thank God we ought not get over it. Amen. I thought about the last man. I thought about the last message. I thought about, thank God he's saving the best for last. That's the last miracle. I mean, look here. You know that the Lord Jesus in John's gospel, there are seven miracles. And John calls them signs. He says they're signs that they may believe. You understand the Jew required a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Yeah. But thank God the Lord Jesus Christ has the power of God. I mean, that's not what they was looking for, brother Matt. They was looking for something different. But the Lord gave them the last miracle. I mean, he started off with a good one. Hey, thank God right here in John 2. But then you find the last miracle that the Lord Jesus Christ performed is over in John chapter 11. And now look here, friend. How many blind people that seeing do you got to see before you believe he's God? Amen. How many lame people you got to see walking before you say, hey, thank God there's something special about that fella. I mean, how many folks that are deaf that start hearing before you say, and this is the Son of God? But I'll tell you what he done. He saved the best for last. How many got all the Jews in there? He'd already healed Jairus' daughter, raised her from the dead, and the widow of Nain's son, raised him from the dead. But in John chapter 11, and there you have Lazarus. And thank God, listen, he's been 4 days dead. I mean, look here, friend. All the Jews have showed up. Everybody's there at the graveside. And they said, could not this man, who thank God who gave sight to the blind, if he'd have been here, could he have done something? And what they're saying, Brother Delmer, is if he'd have got here earlier, he probably could have helped the situation. But it's far too late now. But I got good news, amen. He'll save the best for last. Hey, there's nobody too far. It's not too late. And thank God that God himself can't do something about it. You know what Martha said? He said, thy brother live again. That's what the Bible says. And she said, yea, Lord, I know he'll live again at the last day. At the last day. He said, well, good news, that day's here today. Amen. Amen. She thought the resurrection was a day. But, amen, he had to elaborate that it wasn't a day. Now, we talk about it being a day, but it's not a day. The resurrection is not even an event, so to speak. I mean, it is in the sense of the term, but the resurrection, none of those things. The resurrection is the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, how do you know? Because, now look here, I'm from Scott County and I don't know much. But when the Lord says, I am the resurrection, you know what that means, Brother Chase? Amen. That means I am the resurrection. Yeah. That means, thank God, he is and what he said he was and what they thought was the last day. He said, I've been saving my best for last. I know you think it's too late and it's too far gone, but I got good news, amen. And the best is yet to come. I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven that's saving the best work for his last work, amen. And I stand amazed at how many folks standing there. You know, we're all prone to being in the same boat they're in. And we get to looking around wondering what God's doing, if God's doing anything. And I guess I'm probably the only person ever wonder that. Say, I wonder, Lord, are you doing anything? I mean, I'm praying over here about this, and we're praying about that. But I'll tell you what he'll do. He'll save his last, his best miracle, and it'll be his last miracle. You know what the last thing, you know what the last thing that I'm going to experience is? I mean, I already know. It's 50-50. You, is that right or not right? Thank God. Amen. That's 50-50. What I'm going to experience, the last thing I'm going to experience. Amen. 50-50. And I'd say, thank God for it. You say, what is it? I'm either going to be raptured out. Yep. I mean, I'm going to be changed at the moment in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. Amen. I mean, thank God. Look here, friend. One of two things is going to happen. I mean, they're going to be changed, or I'm going to be resurrected. And the dead in Christ is going to rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever meet the Lord. Therefore, comfort you one of these words. I'm saying this to you, friend. One of two things is going to happen. He's either going to raise us up, or he's going to change us up. Amen. Amen. And it'll be the best thing that's ever happened to us. Amen. Well, y'all ain't with me, but that makes me happy anyway. I thought about this. He saved the best means for the last means. I mean, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't have wanted to got saved in any other dispensation than the one that I'm in. If we understood that a little better, we'd grab a hold of that a little deeper. But I didn't get saved by the law, and you didn't either. And if you got saved and you're saved here tonight, you got saved by grace. I'd say this is the best dispensation. Y'all think that's right or not right? Well, I'll tell you this, it's the only one you're included in, so you probably ought to shout around on that. Amen. That's the only one the old Gentile dogs got a free course in. It says, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Amen. That's the level playing ground. I don't know if you know this or not, but where we're standing at, have the Bible say, y'all know that very famous verse, at John 3:16, for God has so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's good. Verse 17 is good too. Amen. For thank God, for God has sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, and that the world through him might be saved. I'd say this to you, friend. We are living in the best means whereby to get born again and get in the family of God. And you ain't got to sweat it out. And you ain't got to inspect it out. And God's provided the lamb. He's provided the sacrifice. He's provided the blood. He's provided the offering. He's provided instructions. He's provided the Spirit. He's provided the grace. He's provided the faith. He's provided everything that you need. You just believe. Amen. Amen. That's pretty good. Amen. Amen. We're grumpy about it. I'll tell you who'd be happy about it. All them folks in the Old Testament, them Moabites, and them Canaanites, and them Amalekites, and them Hittites, and them Jebusites, and all the rest of themites that's over there in the scripture, whenever they found out that we got in by grace, amen. Them Potters, them Sextons and Parkers and Crabtrees, they look down and they say, man, you mean that crowd?
Yeah.
They got in by grace? You know what you've done to get saved? I mean, really, I've said it before. Jonathan Edwards says it better than anybody I know. He said, the only thing you brought to salvation was your sin.
Amen.
That's it. Amen. You didn't. don't know if I get nervous. You didn't pray good enough to get in.
Amen.
Ain't that a blessing?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you this. I was attending a baptism one time, and they baptized this lady. I remember it like it's yesterday. Burnt Mill Bridge is where I was at, Clark. They took this lady and they went down to the old Burnt Mill Bridge and they dunked her down. When they dunked her down, her feet came up. And this lady standing next to me said, she ain't saved, is she? And I said, do what? And she said, my granddaddy said, if when they get baptized, if her feet comes out of the water, that's a sure indication from God that they didn't get the real thing. And for the rest of that lady's life, that other woman doubted whether she ever got born again by the grace of God.
Amen.
Well, I doubt your granddaddy was born again if he believed nonsense like that.
Amen.
I'll tell you where that's at in the Bible, in the book of Nowhere.
Yeah. Amen.
Y'all listen to me? These people that believe some of the worst nonsense. It's nonsense. I'll tell you what it takes to get born again in our day. It takes the Holy Ghost of God to reprove you of your sin. There are folks running around saying the Lord never deals with them. I'll tell you, if the Lord's ever let you know you're a sinner, you know what the problem is we've listened to so many people tell so many stories. We'll say, well, if your heart's not beating at 400 beats a minute, then the Lord ain't dealing with you. Where'd you get that?
That's good preaching.
Where'd that come from? You said, well, I got a sick feeling in my stomach. Well, thank God. But that's not part of the means of salvation.
Amen.
I tell you what happened, thank God. That's what happened when the Holy Ghost shined His light on our heart. It's the scriptural, thank God. That the Holy Ghost illuminates you to what you are. He illuminates Him to who He is. And thank God when you just wave that flag of surrender, you repent, thank God, towards God, and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is conviction, that's repentance, and it's Bible salvation.
Amen.
You say, well, they didn't shed no tears. That's not in the Bible. They didn't shout. That's not in the Bible either. I wish somebody would smile at me. Half of them's acting like you're mad at me because I just messed your testimony up.
You're doing real good.
You better make sure your testimony's anchored in what this says.
Amen.
You'll not read nowhere where the thief cried the first tear, where he bowed his head. You won't find where he got off and was baptized. You won't find none of that stuff. You'll find out he said probably about the worst prayer you could have said. It was impressive, wasn't it? Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And when he left, you know what happened to him?
Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, the Lord testified that he went.
That's right.
And it wouldn't make much difference what the Church of Christ said about it.
Amen. Thank God.
It wouldn't even, don't get real nervous. It wouldn't have made any difference what the Independent Baptists would have said about it. They'd have said, he didn't dress right enough for me. Well, he went to heaven anyhow. He's there, and I wonder about some of our crowd. Well, I didn't mean to kill the meeting, but I'm still preaching. I'm going to say this last thing. He saved the best for last. He saved the best man for last. He saved the best message for last, the best means, the best miracle. And I'll say this. He saved the best marriage for the last marriage.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I love about this Bible, and I want you to listen to me, and I'm done preaching. I probably would have just preached on this, but it makes me happy. You know, the book of Genesis begins with a marriage. That's pretty good. And the Lord was the officiant of it, the best I understand. Y'all agree with that?
Yeah.
First, we didn't even know what marriage was. Y'all thank God. If you love your spouse, y'all thank God for it.
Oh, yeah.
Book of Genesis begins with a marriage. And the Lord is the official of that wedding. The gospel begins with a marriage. John chapter 2. That's the first miracle he done. This is the beginning of miracles. And he was the attendant. Didn't officiate that one, but he sure attended it.
Yeah, he's there.
Boy, there's one more coming.
Yeah.
It'll not be the marriage of Genesis. It'll not be the marriage of the gospel. It'll be the marriage that begins glory for the born again by the grace of God. And this time he's not going to be the person who's officiating. And he's not going to be the one that's attending.
Amen.
But he's going to be the one that we've been waiting on for a mighty long time.
Amen.
He said, praise the Lord, amen. Said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled.
Amen.
Said, you believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
Amen.
I'm going to give you this. I'm going to read it to you. I thought I might not, but I'm going to. Revelation 19, if you don't know where that's at. If you highlight your Bible, you ought to get Revelation 19 and highlight the whole chapter. Amen. This is what the Bible said. 19 verse 7. He said, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Say, who's going to be there? The born again. Amen. That's pretty good. Save the besting for the lasting. It ain't happened yet. But it's going to. Thank God I'm a going. Amen. I'm going to ask you this question. I'm done preaching. You know what, Johanna, I started trying to find in this Bible. And I want you to listen to me real carefully. But Kim, listen. I started trying to find in this Bible, Brother Tompkins, one invitation that anybody ever gave the Lord that he didn't honor it. I want you to think about it. Simon the Pharisee. Zacchaeus. Invitation that anybody ever asked the Lord.
That's good.
There's not one place where he ever turned them down.
Amen.
Not one.
What a blessing.
Not one. No matter how wicked. They'd say, man, he's went to go have dinner with publicans. You know why? They invited him.
Amen.
He went and sat down and had a meal with Pharisees. You know why? They invited him. And I thought, no matter who it is, if we invite him in, we've got the proof of the scripture. He's never told one person no.
That's right.
Amen.
John 6:37 says so. But I'm going to ask you this. I wonder how many folks that he's invited. And they have and are saying no. My friend, one day that invitation's going to be done. He said, behold, I come quickly. That don't have nothing to do with the amount of time. What that has to do with is when he does come, it'll be over. I've gave you what God's gave me. Let's stand to our feet. I don't know your heart, but I want you to understand this. He saved the best for last. And you're standing here in these last days, and we're knocking on the last hours, and folks are hearing the last message. And one of these days will be the last time. And my friend, I'm telling you, if you spurn his invitation, you're in trouble for eternity.
Yep.
Lisa comes, plays, whoever, Josh, Donnie, whoever's going to sing some song tonight. I don't know your need.